If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We all are thankful to be here this morning. What a blessing, a privilege it is to be with God's people. That we could gather in and outside the building. We're glad that we could come together. And let's continue to pray one for another that we could bring God honor and bring God glory in what has been a very trying time. I thought about 2020 starting off. When you think about 2020, first thing that comes to my mind is our vision. We need to be able to see clearly. 2020 is perfect vision, or at least it was at some point. I think they may have come up with something better than 2020, but at least when you say 2020, you think of perfect vision, and I thank God has used 2020 to open up our eyes that we could see. And if we will just listen to the Lord, we can see spiritually with perfect vision like the Lord would have us to see. And I think that's important. It's more important than seeing the physical life that we have and all our plans and all our hopes and all our dreams. It has to do with God. God left us here to bring Him honor and glory. So pray for me this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. I know we would all be familiar with this chapter and the story of Elijah. God is taking care of Elijah in 1 Kings 17. He told him to go and get by the brook Cherith. He said, "There I will sustain thee." And of course, God provides by nature. He provides by the ravens, by the water brook, to take care of His man. Something as simple as a brook and birds in the air, God's able to use that to take care of His man that is trusting in Him. Then that begins to dry up. And God says, "Elijah, I need you to get there to Zarephath. And so I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there." So the key word I'm trying to emphasize, it is there. God wants us to get there. And as long as we're there, God is going to take care of us. If we're not there, then God does not have to take care of us. He's not obligated to take care of us. Or, God is our Father. God overlooks a lot of mistakes. And I say overlook, He tolerates and He trains us and He disciplines us. And He certainly never forsakes us. But if we'll just get there, God leads. And if we get there, that's where God is going to take care of us. God might not have, of course, there might have been some suffering to go along in the life of Elijah had he not gotten to that brook. And then whenever God said, "Get up and get to Zarephath," if he had disobeyed that and tried to just hold down the fort there at the brook, it might have been some hard times for him as well. So you need to get where God sends us, where God wants us to be. Now, with all that being said, I'm not even going to really focus on Elijah. I want to focus in on this widow, at least for the first part of the message. Then I want to turn and look from a different angle. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So let's stop here just a minute. Elijah, now I'm telling you to leave this brook behind and go to Zarephath, and I have commanded a widow woman to take care of thee. Sometimes when in God's provisions, we just have to humble ourselves. We have to understand God can take care of us however He so chooses. And we have to be willing to humble ourselves and just follow the Lord's leading. And so that's what God is telling Elijah. You're going to go to a widow. She's going to help take care of thee. But what I want you to notice about this is the Lord tells Elijah that He has already commanded this widow woman to take care of this man of God. So God's already working on her heart. He's already gave her the commandment. That's key in what we're going to study this morning. So God has put a specific burden on her heart. During a time of great trouble, He sends her a clear command. All right, let's begin reading verse 10. "So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she said, and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and lay him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. We're going to cease reading with this very familiar passage of scripture this morning. You know, I said that God had commanded, he told Elijah, I've told this widow woman down at Zarephath to take care of you. And so he gets on his way and he travels down to Zarephath, and when he gets there, he arrives upon a scene, she's collecting sticks. That sounds like a pretty good task, collecting firewood, but that's not what she's doing. She's collecting two little sticks. Not going to make a very big fire, even just two chunks of firewood. You're not going to make a real big fire with that. So she kept gathering two sticks to make a little fire, to make a cake for her and her son, and then they're going to die. That's her plans. I'm making my last meal, then we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. But wait a minute, Brother Joey. God has already been working on her. God had already commanded her to take care of the man of God. So, she said, I don't have anything to feed you. I don't have anything. I'm collecting two sticks. I'm doing what I can with what I have the best way I know how. How many times have you heard that? How many times have we said that? I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can under these circumstances. I'm doing the best I can, the best way I know how. I'm doing what I can with what I have. God can do more with what you have than you can. God can do more with what I have than what I can. That's where faith comes in. Whenever we trust God, God, you can do for me better than I can do for myself. That's where faith comes in. And so, it's important that this widow woman listen to the Lord. Lord's already said, I'm working on her heart, I've commanded her, but she gets there and she hasn't surrendered to the will of the Lord. Apparently she knows a little bit about it because she's at least been obedient. When he said, go get me some water, she goes to fetch the water, then he says, make a little cake in her mouth. Well, I just don't see how that's possible. At the same time, I believe she's wrestling with the Lord. Because God has instructed her, take care of the man of God. But in her mind, how can I take care of the man of God? I don't even have enough to take care of myself. How can I do that? You see, it's important that she obeyed the command. Without obedience, she could have harmed herself and her child. See, she was going to eat and she was going to die. That's what was going to happen. But God had a plan that involved her eating and living and being sustained throughout the entire drought that was going on, the famine that was going on in the land. And so, that is what God wants out of us. You think about salvation. I want you to remember the time you got saved. When I got saved, it was when the Lord opened my eyes, showed me I was lost. I was convicted of my sin. I realized I was a sinner. And I trusted Jesus. Just as simple as that. That's all there was to it. I've heard others that have struggled with getting saved. And they talk about, you know, trying to pray the right prayer. Talked about trying to get the wording right. They talked about trying to build up enough faith pressure to get saved. Trying to fix things. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. What are they doing? When a lost person struggles with being lost, really, what is it that they're doing? They're trying to fix it on their own. They're doing the best they can with what they have. Problem is they don't have anything to start with. Don't have anything to work with. You can't fix your salvation yourself because you don't have anything to work with. Bible says you're dead in sins and trespasses. You need to be born again. That's not possible for you to do. That's only possible through Christ. And so what do to get saved? You give up. You surrender. And you put your faith in Jesus. I can't do it, but you can. I can't fix my predicament, but you can. I cannot save myself, but you can. And so I'm going to give up trying. I'm no longer going to try to fix it myself. I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to let you take care of it. And the moment, if you're here and you're lost, if you would just quit trying to fix it yourself and just surrender and give up, the Lord save you. Put your faith in Jesus. He will save you, just like He promised. But you know what? Faith does not stop with salvation. Trust in Him to do for us when we cannot do for ourselves, that is an everyday faith occurrence. We sing a song, Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. That song highlights faith that I cannot do anything. I cannot even walk. I can't get up out of bed in the morning. I can't even draw another breath unless You help me to do that. And so I'm trusting You with my life. And for a child of God, that's what we're to do every day. We are to get up and we are to trust God with our life. We are to trust Him with our circumstances. We are to trust Him with whatever it is that we're facing. We're to trust Him every day. That's everyday faith requires the same faith that getting saved did. Trust in Jesus. Give up. Trust Him. So, He must increase and I must decrease. That's really what it comes down to. So this woman, of course, when you look at her life, she was going through a lot. She was tried before, during, and after this making of the little cake. Before, God is working on her heart and trying to set and commanded her, and she's no doubt trying to get settled with that. That's going to require faith. Now she comes and the man is asked the question, make me a cake. He's giving her a command, make me a little cake first. And so, am I going to continue to try to make this fire with two little sticks and make my last cake and eat it, me and my kid, and we're going to die? Or am I going to surrender and do what God is working on my heart to do? And so she chooses to have faith in God, and she makes a little cake, and because of that, she eats the remainder of the time. But then again, after all this is said and done, faith is required of her again. Now she's trusted this man of God, and her son has come up sick unto death. All those questions rushing in. I made the wrong decision. Boy, I have messed up letting this man come into my life. I've messed up. Did you come into my life so that you could show me how bad my sins were and take my son from me? But God blesses again. She had to have faith in getting settled. She had to have faith to turn over her meal. She had to have faith when it looked like her surrender was in vain, when she trusted, because now her child's life's at stake. While this surrender deals with, when you think about this widow woman, her surrender deals with her ability to surrender my ability and let God come in and take care from this point on. And that's very important that we learn that. Because there's many, many of us, we are very self-sufficient and we try to take care of everything. And whenever we can't take care of everything, we get very frustrated. And for some, it's very hard to have faith in God because we want to maintain the control. I want the reins of my life. I want to keep the control of my life. But there's times when God says, give me those reins. You give it to me and you let go of them. And that requires faith. Are you willing to have that type of faith this morning? Or look at Judges chapter 6. Verse 11. We've completely gone to a different character in the Bible. We're going to look at Gideon for just a minute. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Orpha, that pertained unto Joash, the... I guess we all going to deal with them names this morning, buddy. Abezarite and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? This mighty man of valor was hiding from the enemy. That's so ironic. It's so odd that the Lord comes to a man that's hiding, and he says, thou mighty man of valor. This great man of God, he doesn't seem that great, to be honest with you. Not at this time. Even though God sees something in him, Brother Joy, that I cannot see, what I see on the outside is someone that's cowered down. He's hiding because he doesn't want to get in trouble. He's hiding. And then God says, look, this is what I have for you to do. And he says, what do you mean God is with us? If you're with us, then why are you letting all this happen? And if you're with us, where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? That's something. I guess he is bold in one sense. He's talking to God the way he's talking. To me, that sounds very foolish. But he's being honest. He's honestly wondering, you know, God, why are things happening the way they are? And you know, where are those miracles? Because there's a time whenever you parted the Red Sea for your people. Why is that not happening for us? You know, there's all my ministry, I've heard these older preachers talk about the trials they've been through, and the troubles that they've been through, and the good services they were part of, and all of this. And there's been a part of me says, you know what, I wish that I knew something about that. Seems like everything's been handed us on a silver platter almost. And you know, be careful what you ask for. Because we're dealing with things now that it's amazing, the things that we're dealing with. And, you know, I've heard some ask the question, where's God at? Why is God allowing these things to happen? Where are all the miracles at? Don't you notice where the miracle was at? It was in Gideon. I don't know what that does to you, but that evermore encourages me. He said, God, I'm looking around. I don't see, where's a deliverer at? Where's somebody that's going to help us? Where's all your miracles at? And he said, you looking at him? You look in the mirror. That's the man. The Bible said God looked upon him. God looked upon him. Listen to this again. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You looking for somebody to take care of things? I'm sending you to take care of things. You're going to be the one that encourages. You're going to be the one that leads. You're going to be the one that excites the people to do the work that have called them to do. This great man of God, though he's questioning God. This answer, it should excite us and it should humble us at the same time that I'm looking at you. You know, we talk about revival, looking forward to revival. How are we going to have revival? God's looking at you. No use in looking around, trying to find somebody else. You're the man. You're the woman. So here he is, even though he's rushing around trying to save himself, God opens his eyes, says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. I thought about this widow woman. She's rushing around. She's trying to help herself. She's trying to save her and her son. At least she's doing the best she can with what she's got. She's doing everything. And God slows her down and says, you need to surrender and trust the ability of God. God's going to take care of you. You just need to surrender. Now, let's look at this Gideon, and even though he has no confidence in his ability whatsoever, who, me? God, I am the least man of my tribe. I'm the least in my father's house. There's nothing to me. Certainly, it can't be me. Gideon has no confidence in his ability. He simply wants to hide and hope God fixes it some other way. God said, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to use you. You're going to be the man. I think about that soul, Brother Mike. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes he calms me. So sometimes God just takes the problem away. Sometimes God strengthens us to be able to handle it, be able to go forth. Either way requires us to surrender and have faith in God. It never has been about my ability, but God can use me. If he so chooses to do whatever he wants, and I need to have that kind of faith in him. God can take somebody like me and use me to do great things. Now, our challenge today is to learn faith, to have faith in God. I've looked at myself. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Ryan. I hadn't had faith in God like I should have. And it's real easy for people to look around at different ones and say, well, you know, this one's doing this and this one's doing that. God is doing this is my belief. I'll tell you that because, well, that's what it is. It's my belief. God is doing individual cleaning among his people. He's knocking for any man to open the door. Go read the Laodicean church letter one more time. I know you probably read it 1,000 times. Read it one more time. It's the only letter where God is not talking to the church. He's talking to the individual. And it seems like God is standing outside knocking to come in. It's different than the other letters. In the Laodicean church letter, he's dealing individually with the church members. Are you willing to open up your heart and let me come in? So, he's knocking for any man, singular, to open and have communion. Now, I'll tell you what to do with that, what I believe we need to do with that. This church will be a stronger church when we learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow the Lord to have complete control over me. Over me. I hope He does something with the church. I hope He does something with me. God has allowed us to be somewhat separated for a while. And I'm thankful that we have still gathered together and assembled and obeyed His command. Seems like every step of the way. But God has also allowed us to be separate to an extent that we could focus on number one. On me. Say number one. That's not even a proper term, is it? You know what I'm saying with that. On myself. Focus on me. And whenever I surrender completely to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to have complete control over me, that will make this church stronger because I'm part of this church. And whenever you allow that, this will become a stronger church because you are part of this church. Now, God is not working in us so that we'll look at a little bit here and a little bit there in my life. Okay, I got this fixed. Now I can point a finger at everybody else. Let me look out here who's getting things wrong. They're getting it wrong. God is saying, open your heart, your heart's door, and let me fix you. We sing a song. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. If we sang that song, could you honestly and truly say, that's exactly what I've done in my life. I have surrendered all. All to Him I have freely given. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Could you sing that? And it be the truth. If not, I want to encourage you this morning to just do it. See what happens. Just do it. Just do whatever it costs you. If it costs you that last morsel of bread, or if it costs you giving up complete fear like Gideon, whatever it costs you, just give it up. Because I'm going to make you a promise based on Scripture. That is this. God's promise. Not my promise. God's promise. That is, you cannot outgive the Lord. You give whatever you give up so that you can be closer to the Lord and have a greater faith in Him. It's not going to be a cost in the end. You end up with a surplus. You end up more than what you give away. Give up and trust Him to carry you. Like we sing, I surrender all. Are you willing to give up this morning and just let God have complete, total control of your life? Let Him have the reins of your life? Whatever it is, if it means that you are going to look odd and you're going to be different than everybody else. If it means your home's going to be different than anybody else's home you know of. If it means you're going to have to let go of certain people. If it means you're going to have to let go of whatever it is. I thought about something God pointed out in Sunday school this morning. Find out where your allegiance really is. What's your allegiance? If my allegiance is toward someone ahead of God, that's not good. If my allegiance is ahead of, if it's for something instead of God, that's not good. Am I willing to just totally surrender and let God have His way with Brad O'Neill? Are you? Flash my song.